Jesus never stops feeding his disciples. He's always feeding others, whether it's 5,000 on a grassy hillside with 5 loaves and 2 fish, or in the intimacy of an upper room with 12 disciples gathered around a table celebrating the Passover. Although Jesus feeds others in the ordinariness of their daily life with quite ordinary food, what transpires is anything but ordinary. It is extraordinary. This morning, we catch up with the disciples, now back home, as they are once again caught up in the dependable rhythm of their day-to-day life in Galilee, doing what fishermen do, casting their nets with backs straining and boats rocking and fingers crossed that they might pull in enough fish to break even or have a bit of food for their tables. For them, the early morning is very much an ordinary morning on the lake, even though they have nothing to show for their night of work. But this ordinary morning turns out to be extraordinary. The miraculous catch of fish that filled their net was just a foretaste of the feast to come. On this early morning, the breakfast menu was still quite ordinary: grilled fish and bread. But their host was far from ordinary. He was the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ serving them. When Jesus is involved, the ordinary becomes the extraordinary. We all know that food is a basic part of life. Every living thing must eat to stay alive. Nevertheless, the provision of food is always a divine gift. From the very beginning, God is the one who has given us food for the source of life. Remember in Genesis, God says, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in it is its fruit, and you shall have them for food." In the wilderness, God once again fed his people, the people of Israel, with quail and manna and water from a rock. For the prophets, food was a central promise of God's everlasting relationship with the people of Israel. Isaiah says, "A feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food filled with marrow. Come to the mountain and eat." And for us, God's promise of everlasting relationship centers on food. As we gather around the table of the Lord, hearing these words. On the night of Jesus' betrayal, he took ordinary bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it. And in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, he blessed it and he gave it to them as a sign of his everlasting promise. When Jesus feeds us, he reminds us that it is through the ordinary that God loves us. Through the ordinary that God cares for us. Feeding us is Jesus' way of making sure we know that God is near. That God's promise of being present with us is trustworthy and eternal. "This is my body. This is my blood given for you." When Jesus feeds us at his table, he reminds us that all of our tables, regardless of how ordinary they may be, offers us an occasion to do something extraordinary and for the opportunity for something extraordinary to happen. Room in the Inn. Who's participated in Room in the Inn? A lot of you. Room in the Inn is more than a bed and a shower, although it is that during the 4 months, December through March, for our guests. But it is more than a bed and a shower. It is a meal. For when we gather around the ordinary tables in the fellowship hall with our guests, we share a meal together and we listen to their stories. Something extraordinary happens. Ask anyone who has shared a meal with a guest at Room in the Inn. Who shared a meal with our guest at Room in the Inn? Talk to these folks. Ask them, what happened at those tables. It is true that when we break bread with guests, we are more than likely to be entertaining angels. And this is why we teach our kids to pray before each meal. God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. So at every table, we acknowledge the basic need for food while giving thanks to God for the divine gift of nourishment. Jesus said to his disciples that morning, "Come, have breakfast." And in the early morning, seated around a charcoal fire, they were fed again. By his hands, we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. And Jesus never stops feeding his disciples, and he never stops feeding us. But the story doesn't end there with the charcoal fire sharing the grilled fish and bread. No, the story doesn't end there, for Jesus feeds us so that we are strengthened and shown that we are called to be those who feed others. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And we heard him say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus responded to him, "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And this time Peter felt hurt. "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Do you hear how intertwined love and feeding is? Now it's Peter's turn to love and feed. Our love for Jesus is always an embodied love, a love that takes shape in the form of servanthood and in the gift of food. On December 30th, 1916, at the height of World War I, King Karl of Hungary, who was the last ruler of the Austria-Hungarian Empire, was coronated. On the night of his coronation, a feast took place. It was a traditional royal feast for the crowning of a king, but this was not a festive time in the life of Europe. For in the year of 1916, all of Europe was swallowed up in the horrors of World War I. In King Karl's coronation feast, there were long processions of immaculately dressed noblemen, each with a golden platter covered with their traditional dishes for a royal feast, like roast of homage, roast of pheasant with plumage, sirloin of venison, goose liver, pate with truffles. In all, there were 19 courses for the feast. One by one, these noblemen would carry the courses on golden platters into the great hall. They would bow and they would present it to the king and the queen. And then they would carry the food out of the room. The great hall was filled with guests dressed in all their finery. As the last nobleman left the room with the platter, all the guests realized, "Hey, the food's gone." An uncomfortable silence filled the great hall, and then the guns went off outside, signaling the end of the coronation feast. King Karl stood for the toast, and he exclaimed, "Long live the country!" After the king's toast, it suddenly dawned on the guests that all the food was really gone, and that the feast was really over. And so they all stood and gave a toast. "Long live the king!" What the guests came to understand later was that the food had been taken to a local hospital to feed all the soldiers who had been injured in the war. Even at a coronation meal that includes 19 courses, the food, although lavish beyond comprehension, is still ordinary. But when the food is taken from the coronation feast to the hospital to feed the wounded soldiers, it becomes what? Extraordinary. Never underestimate the ordinariness of a meal shared with those in need. Never underestimate Never underestimate the ordinariness of a meal shared with those in need. Just ask a family who receives the gift of a meal after a funeral. Green beans and deviled eggs may not be suitable for communion elements, but they are an extraordinary sign of God's love for a grieving family. Never underestimate the ordinariness of a casserole shared with those in need. Just ask a person who has received one when they have come home from the hospital. A casserole in a time of sickness and recovery is an extraordinary sign of love. And never underestimate the ordinariness of food in a small church pantry. Just ask a person who has been the recipient of canned vegetables and soup when their cabinets are bare at home and they've had to choose between paying rent and buying groceries. Ramen noodles may not be suitable for communion elements, but they are an extraordinary sign of God's love for a hungry family. Now it's our turn to feed. Our love for Jesus is always an embodied love, a love that takes shape in the form of servanthood and in the gift of food. And with that in mind, I've decided to write another verse to our prayer. God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By our hands, we will feed those we meet who are in need. Amen.